Father, we lift praise to you because you're worthy. Without you, we have nothing. And without you, we are nothing. We thank you for your love for us in creating us, in redeeming us, and drawing us back to you. Father, I pray for us now as we sit in your sanctuary and glorify your name and sing praises to you. Now we open your word. We acknowledge that we are here seeking you, and no one is here by accident, Lord. Open our hearts and our minds. Let the words that are spoken be yours. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Draw us closer to you. Speak to our hearts. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. We are approaching the second tablet of the Ten Commandments, if you will. The first four have dealt with our relationship with God. And 5 through 10 are going to deal with our relationship with each other. And we've approached this thinking in terms of your favorite sporting event, if you will, and how the lines on the field will identify what sport you're playing. They will also tell you where the guidelines are, where to be successful on whatever game you're playing and whatever sport you're entered into. And the Ten Commandments are much like that for us. They give us the lines on the field. They show us how to be successful and live free. And as we're drawing them out here, every commandment gives us another line on the field. And this morning, as we approach the fifth commandment, turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. I'm going to start reading at verse 12. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that you will live a long, full life in the land of the Lord your God is given you. Now, you'll hear a lot about this being the first commandment with a promise or a reward. We're going to talk a little more about that later on. But one of the things that we need to identify with this commandment is what it's not. Okay? First of all, this is not a commandment that is specifically focused to people who are under the age of 18. Okay? It's not. It is also not a commandment about obeying your parents. It's not. It's neither one of those. In fact, there are plenty of places throughout Scripture that tell people who are under 18 to obey their parents. That's there. It's not here. This commandment is specific to all of us, no matter your age, and no matter whether or not your parents are still alive. This commandment tells us, honor your father and your mother. It's important to note that it applies to each one of us and has nothing to do with your parents in terms of who they are, how they act, whether they're Christian or not. This is a commandment to us who have accepted Christ, who are following Him, and the commandment is specific, honor your father and your mother. What does that mean then? If it's not to just the 18 and under crowd, and it's not about obeying, what does this mean for us? And especially if your parents aren't even here, what does that look like? The important point here for us to understand, to grasp what this commandment is telling us, is to focus in on this word, honor. What does that mean? Honor. The Greek word here is kavod. Kavod. Hebrew. Wrong Testament. It's kavod. It means to make heavy, if you will. To give weight to. It's also the very same word in Hebrew for glory. Glory and honor are the same word. So what does that mean to us? And how do we take this idea of giving weight, of making heavy, and apply it to our parents? This has everything to do with you and I and how we live our lives. Let me give you a thought about this. The Scripture tells us to love God, to love a stranger. But do you know that there is nowhere in Scripture that it tells you to love your parents? It's not there. But it does tell you to honor them. And outside of God, Scripture does not tell you to honor anyone else. Scripture only commands us to honor God and honor your parents. That's it. And it doesn't tell you to love them. Okay? So let's keep digging. What does this look like? This idea of making heavy, of giving weight to. We need to go to something that we don't have a really clear understanding of. But it was something that this day, when that scripture was written, was the society in which they live. And it is a honor-shame society. The only thing we have close to that still on the planet today are the Asian cultures, where honor is more important than money. Honor is the most important thing in the society. It's this idea which is foreign to our society, that age and wisdom are incredibly important. Okay? They see people who are aging as wise. They seek their counsel. They put weight in their opinion. They also take care of them in terms of, do you know who has the most nursing homes per capita on the planet? Us. Do you know who has the least? The Asian cultures. Why? Because as their population ages, as their family ages, they see it as a great importance to care for them. Because they carry weight in the society. They carry honor. And it is a privilege. Don't pass over that too quick. It is a privilege to care for their aging parents and grandparents. They seek out their counsel because one of the things that they know is the older you get, the more you know. You've seen a few things as you grow. You've made mistakes, and you know how life will treat you at times. Some things are unimportant, some things aren't. When you're 15 or 20 or 25, some things seem incredibly important. And when you're 65, you realize how little importance those things had. Jesus had to deal with this. Turn with me to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. I'm going to start reading at verse 8. Mark 7, verse 8. For you ignore God's law. You ignore God's law for your own traditions. Then he said, you skillfully sidestep God's law in order to hold on to your own traditions. For instance, Moses gave you this law from God, honor your father and your mother. And anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father or mother must be put to death. Man, we'd be, if we still held to that, population would be thinned out some, wouldn't it? Verse 11, but you say it is all right to say to your parents, sorry, I can't help you, for I have vowed to give to God what I would have given to you. Verse 12, in the same way, you let them disregard their needy parents. Verse 13, so you cancel the word of God in order to hand down your own traditions. And this is only one example among many others. So what's taking place here that Jesus was dealing with? People had their parents who were in need, and they were saying, I can't help you because I've promised I'm going to give whatever to the church. So the church was saying, good job. Good job. Because I would rather you put money in the offering plate than help your parents. Jesus is saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? Honor. What does honor mean? Well, I've told you before, I got a real good dose of this when I was growing up. Growing up in a family where your father's the police chief and your grandfather is the mayor, you learn very quickly that your actions carry implications much further than your own life. I was back in South Carolina last July, okay? I'm 55 years old. I met someone who I had not seen in a long time, but was one of the officers that worked for my dad when he was the police chief. He looked at me and he said, you're Daryl McConnell's boy, aren't you? Not that I'm Chad McConnell, but I am still tied to my father, who has not been the police chief in 15 years. But I'm still tied to him. You and I are tied to our parents and our grandparents, even if they're not here. And your actions are going to carry ripple effects, not only through your own life, but through your family's life. And this is why in an honor-shame society, where honor is more important than money, honor can only be established by taking care and focusing on your parents and your grandparents. And what God is telling us is we are responsible for how we live and what effect we have on our family as a whole. There's an interesting note at the end of this commandment, that you may live long and full life in the land God has given you. many times that's seen as a reward or a promise. But think about this. Our society is what, 200 years old? Right? Societies don't last, if you look back through history, societies don't last very long when one thing leaves, and that's honor. Because the opposite of honor is the focus on me, that I'm the only thing that matters, that I'm going to lift me up, that I'm going to build me up, that I'm going to get this and have that, and I want this. And the only thing that matters is me. Look at the Asian societies. How old are they? Thousands of years old. Because this verse, this commandment, is not necessarily as much a promise and a reward as a reason. When we have this mindset that I'm focused on giving honor, it changes who you are. Okay? And so when I start to honor my father and mother, I begin to realize something. And this is incredibly critical. Do you understand from God's perspective, okay, that you were created by Him with co-creators of your parents? Do you understand that? Turn with me to Psalms. Psalms 139. Psalms 139. I'm going to start reading at verse 13. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body. You knitted me together while I was still in my mother's womb. God chose male and female, mother and father, parents, to come together in a union of marriage. And then He chose to be co-creators with them to create us. This does not happen anywhere else in God's existence of being creating. If you read Genesis, He created everything on His own, right? He didn't need any help. But when it came to us, He chose to be co-creators with us. And so God gives honor to mother and father, because He chose, this is how I'm going to create us. And so He doesn't in any other place enter in with us to be creators. Verse 14, thank you for making me so wonderful, complex. Your workmanship is miraculous. How will I know You wanted me as I am and formed me in the seclusion as I was in the womb, together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in Your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. God chose male and female. It's the only way to create another human. And what He has challenged us to do is to give them honor. He didn't say love them. He said give them honor. What does that look like if, say, your parents are not believers? Maybe your parents are horrible. Maybe you don't even know who they are. What does that look like? Remember, this commandment has nothing to do with your parents and everything to do with you. and how you live your life. As we transition from the first four commandments that says how our relationship to God should happen, and to these next six who relate to our relationship to each other, it's important to note the first thing he says is give honor to your parents. When you live in a way that you are giving honor, it focuses you on something different than yourself. And when you are focused on something different than yourself, you can live in a way that God wants you to relate to other people. Because in every turn, at every crossroads, God is saying to us, love everybody else. Love me, love everybody else. Now I want to show you over in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. As we think about this idea that maybe your parents weren't the greatest, maybe they weren't even there, maybe they are terrorizing your life still today, because it's important to note that God will never ask you to do anything that focuses you away from Him. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents. Now he's talking to the 18 and under crowd. Children, obey your parents. In the Lord. Do you know what that in the Lord means? We as parents should always be pointing our kids toward God. We should always be pointing our kids toward God. I had a rule for Grant when he was growing up. It was my number one rule as being a dad. Number one rule as being a dad. What was it? I'd always try to say yes. You know why? Because I saw very early on that sometimes, and I know this from my own life, my father was a tremendous provider. Okay? But I have never heard my father tell me he loved me. He was a tremendous provider. He was focused on his career. He was always, he made sure I had a roof over my head and food on the table. But what I noticed from my own life is my father would say no out of convenience. Okay? If I went to ask him something, can I do this? Will you take me there? Can I go here? The answer was no. Why? Because it was convenient for him. It was easier for him to say no than to say yes. So I decided early on that my number one rule for being a dad, I'd always try to say yes. What that looked like is, I'm going to evaluate this based on what's good for him and what points him toward the Lord. If I can say yes, sometimes it was exhausting. Quite honestly, sometimes it was exhausting. Sometimes things took longer than they should have. Okay? My favorite example of this living out was probably a six-year-old Grant. We're going into the store. We need one thing. It's the three of us. We need one thing. We're in a hurry. We got to get things, you know how it is. You got a list. You got to take care of stuff. We need to run here and get one thing. As we start through the door, Grant starts to ask his mother a question and stops. Says, never mind. And then he turns to me and said, can we go look at the toys? He's living out my number one rule. Was it convenient? No. Did we necessarily have time for it? What else do we have to do than to impress on our kids and spend time and focus on them so that we can what? Train them up so that they will honor and live their life like God wants us to live our lives. Look at this. Ephesians. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then he's going to shift. Honor your father and your mother. He's not talking to the under 18 crowd anymore. He's talking to everybody who's listening. Which is the first commandment with a promise, so that you may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life on this earth. When we give honor to our parents, do you know what we're really doing? Acknowledging God. There are a lot of people who are on this planet at this moment that have incredible issues with authority. If you want to be happy and you want to live a long life, when you can focus your idea of authority that God is it, number one, things change for you completely. And when you live in a way that gives your parents honor, what you're really doing is giving God honor. Because what takes place, as I told you, my actions growing up carried weight on my family. Your actions now carry weight on your family. You are a child of God. If you don't give honor to the people who He used to create you, how can you possibly give Him honor? This is a commandment about centering our focus on what really matters. And that's living in such a way that gives God honor. Whether you agree with your parents or not, whether you like your parents or not, whether you love your parents or not, you can still give honor. And honor is a life that is well lived, that makes them look at you and go, "You're Daryl McConnell's boy. And you did all right." Stand with me and let's pray. Father, we thank You that You created us. You knitted us together. And You planned every day of our existence. You've told us to honor our father and mother. Father, let us live that out in a way that brings honor to You. Take us from this room and use us to glorify Your name. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen.